Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports, yes we do. Talking sports, it's for you. Play and
hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and I'm better at the touchscreen than my man Charles Barkley. So give us a call. It's time to talk the madness. 718-664-9098. Like always, your emails. We want to get some of your Final Four picks. Send it to us. RayandTayToday@gmail.com. Check out the website, RayandTayToday.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube. We're all over the place. We'll hit a little bit of some NFL news, some big news, and the NBA, but we got to start with the brackets first. Ray, I don't know if you leaked it or what happened with the brackets, but it was the lowest ranking selection Sunday show ever. I don't think Barkley and Kenny should be a part of it. I don't like the two-hour format. It's really just supposed to be half an hour, 6 to 6:30. Get in, get out, and give us the meat, give us the information. And then you tune to ESPN for all the, you know, breakdowns. What were your thoughts? And then we'll get into the presentation, and then we'll get into how the committee did seating. What'd you think about yesterday?
So you know me, I have mixed thoughts about this whole tournament. The one thing they've done right is they've put it on four networks, so you can see every game. So you don't have to worry about not seeing a game that you're interested in. So that I thought was brilliant, and that was a long time coming, and I'm glad they were able to get TBS, TNT, and True TV on. By the way, you know the championship is on TBS this year.
I do.
The Final Four in the championship.
A little weird, a little too much for me, but that's okay.
A little weird, but at least
everybody gets a turn, right?
Team. Right. Yeah. At least you can see your team if you have to, and you don't have to go, you know, especially in the early rounds, you don't have to go to some, you know, bar if you don't want to see your team. Now, the selection show, 2 hours, like you said, too long. They stretch it out. I mean, do the selection and then stay on CBS. That's okay, you know, but you want to have your cake and eat it too, because they probably want to have 60 minutes, you know, all the viewership, lead into 60 minutes. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. Bottom line is they should do the selection show where you select the teams. I agree with you 100%. And then do an analysis show after that. Don't try to mix and match. And you know how I feel about Barkley and Kenny. I think they're great for NBA. But it kills me that the guys that follow college all year, so Clark Kellogg, and Clark hangs with them a little bit, but Clark Kellogg and Seth Davis and Doug Gottlieb and Greg Anthony and all these guys.
Those are the only guys. Oh, listen, I wish we could get Greg back. Greg has been, you know, like Warren Sapp, excommunicated. So, you know, whatever. I mean, now the championship game is Nance, Grant Hill, and Bill Rafferty.
Right. The guys who call the games is fine, and also the guys who analyze the game. Barkley and Kenny, I mean, I don't know how it is for ratings, but it's ridiculous. I mean, they zoom in for 2-3 weeks, and they try to double as both NBA and college guys. Stick to the NBA. You're great. You're Emmy Award winners for your NBA coverage for over, 10, 15 years already. So don't try to do the college thing. Leave it to the college folks.
I totally agree. I got to we'll start off. Look, Ray and Tay, we're going to give you our picks. We'll do our bracket. But we got to start off with the seeding. Now, when you have four conferences, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and ACC with seven teams, that's sort of top-heavy and a lot. But the question really is, how did they seed them? And then also, should the ACC and Pac-12 have even had seven teams? What are your thoughts about whether or not they deserve that? And then you got to look at the seeding compared to the AP rankings that came out today, which basically is, you know, totally different from the seeding. Like Oregon's 5 in AP. Meanwhile, they got Oregon as the number one seed. So there you go. Michigan was 2. Tell me what you thought.
So I don't like the outcome this year. Look, at the end of the day, we're talking about on the margin, right? I think for the most part, when you have a 68-team field, it's hard to really, really bang the table and say that, you know, Monmouth should have been in, and it's a travesty that they're not. You know, I think they should have been rewarded, especially because they did exactly what you told them to do, is go out of conference and try to schedule some big-time, you know, big fish. They did. They had a couple.
They were 3-4. Against the top 100.
Right. They had a couple bad losses. They had a couple of, you know, losses to teams ranked at the 200s. But at the end of the day, you know, I have less of a problem with the teams that are in and out. I mean, I have some issue with them, but I just didn't like their seedings. And I don't know if it was because of obligations or the S-curve or the pod system or
they didn't follow the S-curve. It's about the pod system. And that, I think, gets a little annoying, and it doesn't add up, right? So Michigan State has a 2 seed, but if they play Virginia, it's in Chicago. So that's weird. Kansas in the South makes no sense. They should be in the Midwest. Do you know what I mean? Like, so just like little things like that don't add up. And then, for example, you're going to have Kentucky, a 4 seed against North Carolina, and that East region is stacked. But Kentucky in AP poll was ranked 10. They beat Texas A&M in the championship. Texas A&M was a 3 seed. Kentucky's a 4 seed. So did they not care about the championship in that aspect?
But
then
yeah,
they cared
Texas
about it
A&M,
in other?
Wait a minute. But Texas A&M, I mean, that's a weird situation. But Texas A&M played better all year. Kansas is – you know, I'm sorry, Kentucky for the last, you know, 8 to 10 games has played well, but A&M played well the whole year. And remember, A&M was a top 5 team a month and a half ago. So, yeah, they beat them in the finals. It was a good game, a close finals, but they're looking at the body of work. So I don't have that much of an issue
but
with A&M
gap.
As a 3 in Kentucky.
Now. They're ranked 15th now in the final AP, and Kentucky's 10th. I mean, that's a whole line. And
Yeah. No, I agree. Oregon should never have been ranked.
What
over
about Purdue
Michigan
and Maryland?
State.
Let's be honest. Come on.
We talked about that. Yeah, those 5 seeds. I thought the Big Ten, they basically stamped the Big Ten as the 5 seed conference.
And Duke,
you know,
gets
got
a 4. How does Duke get ranked ahead of Maryland and Purdue, where right now Duke is 19 and they lost to Notre, got spanked by Notre Dame?
It's a great question. It's a great question. I can't justify that. You're right. Duke is a 19, which means if you go by the natural order of things, they're a 5 seed, and they were given a 4 seed above Indiana, who should have been a 4 seed, and Maryland, who's, you know, well, maybe Maryland according to the numbers is a 5 seed, but Purdue, who's 12. I mean. 12.
Purdue should be a 3 seed without question.
I was about to say Purdue is the last 3 seed technically, and by the way, Purdue was a basket away from winning the Big 12 champion, the Big Ten championship.
Big Ten, yes.
And you're giving them a 5? I mean, yeah,
that
I didn't
makes
like it.
No sense, right?
And the funny thing is, the guy who headed up the committee was the AD from Oklahoma. So I don't know if that impacts the philosophy, the fact that the guy is coming from a big school, but you know, maybe that talks to why, like you said, 7 teams from those 3 conferences, from those 3 Power 6 conferences. But I got to tell you, Calipari brought up a good point. He said, look, every year is different. So some days
criteria.
It's CPI, some days it's RPI, some days it's what are your wins, some days it's what are your losses, some days it's what are your
scheduling.
So, yeah, I think it's uncertain, and I don't like it. I think they should have more, they should try to be more like, you know, college
football.
Well,
they need to lock
it
down and
let everybody
know what it is.
Or at least lock it down for 5 years, you know? Say that we'll reevaluate. Maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't be using RPI. Maybe we shouldn't be using whatever. But at least for 5 years, say we're going to use this mechanism.
Criteria. Yeah.
Exactly. These factors, these criteria to get the teams and to rank the teams. Now I know that there's some issues. Like people said, you know, well, why don't if Villanova why don't you put Villanova in Philly? Well, there's two sides to that argument, because if Villanova is the number two in Carolina's bracket, then you're giving them a huge advantage, and Carolina, who's the number one seed, you know, the advantage should go to the one seed because they earned it,
right,
theoretically.
But they just turned
right?
around and, but that's the comedy. They just turned around and did that to Michigan State, Virginia.
I know.
So they drew Virginia because it's in Chicago.
All right. So they didn't do it. Well, Michigan, look, Lansing is not exactly Chicago, right? Philly is Villanova is in Philly, basically a suburb of Philly, right?
I know. But it's still pretty close.
I hear what you're saying. Inconsistency is probably the name of the game here. No, I was going to say, I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear them kind of debrief. And he was good. I listened to him, and all of his arguments made sense. I just don't agree with some of the big decisions that they made.
Yeah, I thought it was very sloppy. Look, it's going to be, once the game starts, nobody cares. Last thing on this, the West, I think the West region with Oregon is kind of weak. But to me, how do you have Arizona as a sixth seed? They're ranked 17. Arizona was maybe the second best team all year in the Pac-12. To me, they should be a five. You know what I mean? Like that. To me, that makes it very difficult when teams have to battle against somebody that they shouldn't face early. See, seeding does matter. We say it doesn't, but it does in terms of matchups. Like, so now Maryland, second round, they're playing Cal at a four seed. And, you know, and then if they win that, they're going to play Kansas. I mean, you know, to me, Maryland should have been, you know, maybe a 3-4 seed.
No, they're not a three seed. They weren't playing well enough.
I think it's a four. I think they're a four. But listen, it is what it is. So before we get to our bracket, now you made a bold statement last show that your Final Four, you know, I went bold with my Celtics making the Eastern Conference Final. But Ray went bold with saying his Final Four would be five seeds or lower. 5 through 16. Are we going to stick to that, Ray, as this bracket gets unsealed? As we unravel?
Okay. I'll give you my brackets based on, you know, not so bold. But I will give you my four teams that, in an ideal world, the Final Four. My four, five, you know, five and over seeds that'll make the Final Four. I'll give it to you.
All right, well, listen, let's get to it. Well, actually, you know, before we pick it, and this could be not somebody you picked, give me two real upsets, 10 seeds or higher, that could go to the Sweet 16 and make some noise. Just two. For our fans that are listening out there that want to, you know, pick something crazy to advance.
God, there's so many, but I tell you who could do it. So I'll say Michigan. You know, Michigan, if they win, they have to win a play-in game, right? But let's say they beat Tulsa, they could take down Notre Dame. And Eli, coach of West Virginia, he might be able to do some, you know, make some noise there. So that's a team to look out for. I also like, they've got a lot of talent. And again, I'll give you another team that it might be difficult. The winner of that Vanderbilt Wichita State, right? Wichita State's got that backcourt, Van Vliet and Baker. And Vanderbilt's got two kids that are probably going to be top 15, 20 NBA, you know, draft on the draft board. So that team could surprise.
You're going with both playing games. You like the play-in game.
Yeah, they could both surprise Arizona. And then, you know what? Miami can be had, too. So I'll go with those two teams. I'll go with hedging a little bit with the Vandy Wichita winner, but I think either of them can take Arizona. I mean, I don't know if they will, but they could. I mean, for different styles, but they could definitely show up and make a run for the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Who you got?
I'm telling you right now, my man AJ English and Iona, they're going to knock out Iowa State, and my team that I've been beating the drum for all year, Purdue, could be in trouble. Iona is a team that I think could make it to the Sweet 16. So that's one. I think that they're really, you know, they're dangerous and not to be messed with. And, you know, hey, they knocked out Monmouth basically by winning that, winning their conference. And then the other one's a little bit more difficult. I go back and forth. I like Stony Brook, but they can't do it playing Kentucky. So I had, you know, had to hold that back. Kentucky, oof, dangerous. And I see you got Buffalo over Miami. That's an interesting one. I got one for you. Temple. I think Temple has a shot at 10. They're going to beat Iowa, and then I could see Temple in the old Big Five Philly Classic, right? I could see Temple going up against Jay Wright and upsetting Villanova to get to the Sweet 16. How would you like that?
Nice.
So just a couple of picks. And don't sleep on Hawaii. I just had to throw that out there. Hawaii is very good. Cal is going to have their hands filled with Hawaii. So just a little
right,
something.
Especially the youth. Yeah, Hawaii's got some experience, and Cal's so young. They're talented, but they're so young.
You're saying a little Keith Sweat? They might be young, but they're not ready?
So let me, before we get into our picks, let me just give you some fun facts, because Richard Rothschild, friend to the show, writer for many, many years, from most recently Sports Illustrated, but he was in Chicago, I think at the Tribune writing. He sent us over some fun facts for the 2016 NCAA tournament. He said, first, it was a bunch of them, but let's cull it down to ones that are, you know, super, super interesting. So he said, don't expect number one seed Oregon to make the Final Four. The last time the Ducks made the Final Four was 1939. So, no good. No good if you're going to put your money on Oregon.
And that was the first Final Four, right? 39 was the first Final Four. They won it.
Yeah, the very first NCAA Hoops Final Four. That's right. Here's a crazy one, too. Yale is making it to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1962. But there's a team in the Ivies that's gone longer than that. Dartmouth, the Big Green, they were called the Indians back in the days. They haven't been in the tournament since 1959. So Manchester, New Hampshire, better get your game right. You know, we want to see Dartmouth in the tournament.
Hey, leave
here's
the
another
Ivy
one.
Leave them alone.
You
leave
know,
them alone.
We talk about the number one seeds, right? And we talk about how this year top five and top ten teams went down. Well, this year's combined 23 losses by the four number one seeds is
the
highest ever.
Yeah.
Of teams, of number one teams going into the tournament since they've ranked the teams. So that's pretty crazy.
I like that. Listen, there's a ton of parity, and we knew that, right? But when you really start to add up the numbers, you find it to be very, very fascinating. That's a good one. Have you seen the Vegas odds, too?
What's crazy about the Vegas odds is that, again, Oregon is totally disrespected. And so, you know, again, I wish we had a committee member on the show and say, how did you rank Oregon so high?
Yeah.
I mean, look, they would have been fifth, right, or sixth, but let's say, I guess there's not that big a deal, four plays five anyway. You know, the worst one seed plays the best two seed in theory if you're doing a pure S-curve. But, yeah, the Vegas odds are pretty interesting. You know, Kentucky shot up there. And
Jamal Murray's on fire, right?
Yeah, 25 a game. His last 12.
Yeah.
And Tyler Ulis, we talked about this off air. What a second half he's had. And
Yeah. But you know what's funny? Everybody looks for the 5-12, but you need to look for the 11-6. Basically, they've been at 50% the last few years. Last year, no 12s beat any 5s. And I think that might be for the last 2 years. So, you know, don't get too caught up in the 5-12s. Maybe look 11-6, maybe the 13-4s, where you might get an upset. But let's get started. Let's start at the top of Kansas, and let's put it in. This is going to be, and we'll tweet it out. Join us. Have some fun with us. Ray and Tay today. Bracket Challenge. We do it on ESPN. Join our group. And so this pick will be in there, our picks, and Ray will, you know, enter his in. And you guys can compare with us on the show and see who wins it all. Everybody gets excited. I get my whole family in it, and we get a bunch of friends, so it's fun every year. Kentucky against the P, the Austin P. I mean, Kansas, number one. I'm sure you have Kansas.
Yeah.
Colorado, UConn.
Just pencil in all four number ones.
Okay. Colorado, UConn.
You know, I like the UConn guards. I think that they played well in their conference tournament. They got that lucky, 75-footer to go to overtime and then ended up winning. They ended up winning that game in the semis, and then they ended up winning their conference. I like their experience. I think Kevin Ollie, you know, has these guys playing well. I like UConn.
I'm going with UConn, too. I think guard ready, and you know what? The program itself, and we talked about it last episode, they just know how to play the madness. You know, they're going to do it for Kemba. You know, so listen, that should be fun. Maryland against South Dakota University. What do you think about South Dakota State?
Get your Dakota right, man.
No, nah, I got to put the state in there. I'm sorry. SDSU.
Exactly. I think SDSU. Maryland's underachieving, but I think they're going to put it together.
Up.
You know, once you get out of Big Ten play, once you start getting beat down by Indiana, Michigan State, you're going to start to flex a little bit, and I think that San Diego State's going to have a bit of a beat down on the hands of your
team. I think that conference will make these teams tournament tough. My prediction is out of all the conferences, the Big Ten will have the best record. I'm going to put that on.
Predicting pain.
I'm going to put that out now, right? Because if we out of the seven, who would you say? It's Pac-12, ACC, Big 12, Big Ten. Who will do the best between those four? I'm saying Big Ten.
It might be the Big Ten just because of the depth. I mean, I like the Big 12 at the top, so I like Oklahoma and Kansas. But I think in terms of depth, I agree with you, Big Ten.
Okay. Well, I have Maryland, too. This is an interesting game. Cal against Hawaii. Where are you going?
So even though they're young, I think they're good. I think Jaylen Brown, the two big fellas, the two young big fellas, they are what
two or three
need.
NBA players. You know who their big guy is? Sean Rook's son. Remember Sean Rook's NBA and Arizona player?
Of course, Arizona product.
Got it like that. So we both got Maryland Cal. So moving down, this is what I was talking about. Arizona. Oh, I don't like the seeding. What do you think about Arizona against who are they playing? The winner of who's Arizona playing?
By the time I get to Arizona, Arizona's playing the winner of Vandy and Wichita State. That's that playing game that I took.
Ooh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm looking at
you know
this.
I'm going for my first upset. I'm going for my first upset. I'm going to say either one is going to beat Arizona.
Wow.
But you know what? I'll say I really like Vandy, but I just like Wichita's backcourt and Van Vliet and Baker. They've been around forever. They're four-year starters, four-year seniors, and I think they take care of Vandy and Arizona.
Okay. Well, I got Arizona. Next game, you know, it's Miami-Buffalo. I think at the end of the day, Miami, Laurinaitis, he's a great coach. I like Miami. They got some, you know, Rodriguez, a bunch of the big guys are tough. Miami's going to win that.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
Who you got? Iowa Temple.
It's a good game, and I think Temple is going to give Iowa a better game than people think, but I just think, like you said, coming out of the Big Ten, you get to flex your muscles by going out and playing these other teams, like these A-10 teams. So I just think Utah and the size of Utah is too much. His versatility, I like Utah in this game.
You know, I want to. I thought Iowa all year was going to be, you know, they were like top five for a minute. I think it ends. I think Temple.
Really? Okay.
I think Temple pulls the upset here. So I'm going with Temple, and then we both have Nova at two. So let's work our way back up. Let's finish the region up. Temple Nova. Well,
so
Temple,
you have Temple,
Iowa.
I have Iowa. So I think Villanova beats either team. I think they're still good enough. I don't know that they're going to make the Final Four, but they're good enough to make the Sweet 16. I think they have guard play. They have some size. They have Jay Wright. They have experience. So I like Villanova.
Okay, Miami against either team, and I have Miami against Arizona. I'm taking Arizona. Where are you going?
You know what? I think Wichita State will give Miami a run for the money. And you know what? I'll go with Wichita State. Why not? Start taking some upsets.
Sweet 16, baby. I like it a lot. Maryland Cal, watch yourself. I'm listening.
I know you are, Blair.
I know you are.
And Cal has talent.
And Fish,
but
they're
you know
all
what?
Listening.
Michigan. Maryland has more. So I like Maryland. I like Maryland as a top Final Four team beginning the season. Suleiman and Tremble in the backcourt, I think, is the key. They have
Carter's
that experience, and they have
court.
And Carter's going to be a matchup problem. So I like Maryland. I like Maryland actually to go pretty deep.
Okay, Kansas, UConn. You going with Kansas?
Yeah, going with Kansas. I think UConn's run ends here. There's no Kemba Walker or Ryan Boatwright or Shabazz Napier on this team. So, Kansas.
That's fair. Oh, and I didn't say, of course, I've got Maryland. Yo, Terps. Maryland against Kansas. Where are you going? The Elite Eight.
You know what? I'm going to say Maryland takes out Kansas. Everybody is giving Kansas the national championship.
So much
They're
love.
Anointing them. And I'm saying to myself,
hold up.
Self, not Bill Self, but myself. Is Kansas really ready? So they've played consistently well this season, but I just worry a little bit about who's going to put that team on their back. You're down one. You need a bucket. There's 57 seconds left.
Harry
Who
Ellis,
are you going to?
Sheldon, or Graham, or Mason. You know, like none of them?
I like them all. I don't love any of them. Yeah. I don't think that, you know, who's your Shabazz Napier? Who is your Kemba Walker? Who's your Grayson Allen from last year? Who's
yeah.
that guy that gets you the bucket when you're down and you need it?
I agree. Okay.
I like Maryland. So, I just think that they turn it around.
Okay. I have Maryland over Kansas as well. And I think between Stone and Tremble getting healthier but being disrespected, Suleiman having to leave Duke, he's been tournament ready. They can defend. Suleiman can shoot. Carter has been a tough matchup with Lehman. We've got some, you know, late leadership, but you like the senior leadership from Lehman and Suleiman. So I have Maryland over Kansas. Now, down here, I have Villanova, Arizona. And for me, I'm going with Nova to beat Arizona to face my Tar Heels for the Elite Eight. That was the Sweet 16 matchup. Who do you have? Because you had
to face your Terps, you mean. Yeah. I'm going with Wichita State, but I think that their run ends here. I think Villanova, even though I don't love them this year, I do think that they have enough to beat a Wichita State that'll be very feisty. So I have them advancing.
I feel like it is a little bit of a different Nova team. We've been disappointed by Nova the last, you know, whatever many years. But they made it to the Final Four. What was that, 09 or 10? I forgot what year. It wasn't that long ago. They made it to the Final Four. But after that, they've had some horrible, like, kapunkers. So Maryland, Nova, we both have that, which is funny because we haven't talked off air about this. Who goes in from the South region, Maryland against Nova, to play in the Final Four?
I like Maryland. I think that, it's killing me to say this to a Maryland fan, but I just think their depth, all the reasons that I liked them in the beginning of the season. Now, you could say that they were so inconsistent. They had a terrible February and March, and they really don't deserve to be in the Final Four. But I still look at their talent, and I still think that when the ball is in Melo Trimble's hands, I feel good. I feel like things happen. He doesn't have to even make the plays. He's a little bit like
he's
got to
stop the turnovers, though.
He turns it over too much, and they had a couple of clunkers, but I still remember that North Carolina game where I see their ceiling
best game all season
as being very high. So I like I like the fact that they have size when they need it. They have
no
perimeter
question.
Play when they need it, and they have Melo Trimble, and you don't. That's my guy. He's going to be like Trey Burke from Michigan 3 years.
He plays himself into a late lottery, I think, honestly. Maybe 20th pick, first round NBA pick, though. I'm going with Maryland too, Ray. They're in my final four. I think they got a little bit more than Nova, but I think they got the size over Nova and some size that can score. Let's go to the West region. Oregon's number one. We know they're going to advance over Holy Cross or Southern. I'll say they beat Southern, and Oregon passes. Now, this is interesting, the 8-9 game. St. Joe's with one of the best 10 players in college in, what's his name, Barrymore or whatever. He is ridiculous. And you know you love the coach against Cincinnati. This is like a game of two thug-it-out teams. Who you got, Cincinnati or St. Joe's?
I like St. Joe's. I think Phil Martelli's got his boys ready. He's got talent. He's got a little bit of depth. They beat Cincinnati.
Okay, they don't have Delonte West, but they might have his play cousin. So I agree. I got St. Joe's as well. Baylor against Yale. This is, interesting matchup. I got to go with Baylor. I think Yale's going to be better than people think, but I got to go with Baylor.
I hate the fact that Yale lost their senior guard, and with him, it probably would have been a little bit more interesting. But, yeah, I think Baylor's too deep, too tough, too big.
He's suing, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
You know, charges of sexual assault, so we just hope the truth happens and comes out and whatever it favors. And then Duke, Ray, this is a sneaky good Duke team. What do you think Duke does against UNC
Wilmington?
A lot of these Wilmington kids wish they went to Duke, so they're going to be ready to play. Don't think they won't.
That's true. And Duke, just like they can shoot themselves into games, they can shoot themselves out of games. But, you know, if Kennard, Grayson Allen, and Brandon Ingram are playing – Duke is one of the most devastating offensive teams in the nation. So you either have to outscore them or you have to force them to shoot from the outside and hope that they don't make many of them.
And Plumlee with the double-doubles. He's been on a roll.
Yeah, and Plumlee's holding it down. Remember, he's a senior, and, you know, all of his two brothers are going to be in his ear trying to get him to win a national championship like they did. So
you're
I like Duke.
The last Plumlee, the final Plumlee.
Until they have
credit,
kids.
He's going to the military. He's going to serve the country, and after that, try to see if he can go to the NBA. So we wish him well. I have Duke as well. Let's keep it moving. Texas against UNI, and we know about UNI. They took care of our Tar Heels this year. No Marcus Paige, but Northern Iowa took care of us. Who you got in this game?
And I think they're going to take care of Texas. Shaka Smart, be ready.
You're not ready. You just said Isaiah Taylor, my play cousin.
Be
ready. Shaka's good in the tournament. You better watch that. Okay. I'm going with Texas. Shaka's good in the tournament, player.
I'm telling you. Now, it's in Oklahoma City, so Texas is closer than Northern Iowa, but I still like this Northern Iowa team. They're gritty. They have some guards that can play. I think that's another upset.
That's
right,
that 6-11 upset, right? So
yep.
Texas A&M against Green Bay. Who you got?
Unless Aaron Rodgers comes out and plays in this game, I'm taking Texas A&M. They won the SEC, which was down a little bit this year, but they were as high as a top five team for a reason. They've got talent.
They got Jones and Davis, and I think it's just too much. They're too much posse. This is a good one. Gary Payton the second. Oregon State against VCU, the Rams.
If the glove does not fit, you must acquit. And I think that VCU, by the way, it's the 20th anniversary, VCU comes and upsets Oregon State. So I like that 10 seed right there.
7, yeah, I got VCU as well, Ray. And then Oklahoma, I'm sure we both got Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Cal, Santa Barbara, you know, SB Davis. Let's work it back up. Oklahoma VCU. This is a good game.
Yeah, I think VCU gives them a run for the money, but ultimately I think Oklahoma has the best player in the country in Buddy Hield and the most dynamic offensive player. They just need to get him the ball, and I think they win.
I agree. Texas A&M against Northern Iowa, and I have it against Texas. I'll say real quick, for me, A&M against Texas, this is an old school rivalry from the big, the SWAC days and the, you know, all that stuff. But I'm going with Texas A&M to meet up with Oklahoma. What do you got?
Yeah, I believe Texas A&M's a good team. And if they're playing right, they're one of those teams that could win it all.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. Baylor-Duke, great matchup. Really fascinating. What do you got?
You know what? I'm going to go with an upset here. I'm going to say Baylor. I think Baylor's going to have too much size inside. They're going to defend.
They're great rebounding.
Yep, and so Duke's going to miss a lot, and Baylor's going to rebound a lot. So I like this Baylor team. I think that Big 12 did them right in terms of preparing them for the tournament. Duke's been up and down all year, and I think ultimately this is where Emil Jefferson leaves Plumlee by himself, essentially, inside. I don't think Brandon Ingram's
right,
ready to bang.
I agree. I have Baylor going up against Oregon. I think Oregon takes care of St. Joe's. You have the same there?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going back down. Oregon against Baylor. Woo!
So you know what? Like I had Maryland as a 5 seed beating a number 1 seed, I have Baylor taking out Oregon. I think Oregon is not a 1 seed. They're probably a 2 seed. But I think this Baylor team, they have depth. They have size. They have guards. And you know what? They're playing.
They have fluorescent jerseys.
And they have some jerseys that might get them, you know, late in the possession, you might get blinded by the jersey. So you know what? I'm going with Baylor. Another.
I'm not mad at you going to the Great Eight. Listen, I'm going with Dane and his boys, the Oregon Ducks, where I don't like the Pac-12.
By the way, Oregon has some uniforms too now.
Oh, that's all uniform game. That's what
exactly.
We'll hashtag that when it happens, if it happens. I'm going to go with Oregon there because, to me, I just think they're very, very talented. When you see them, I don't remember what they beat Utah by, 30 or 40 in that Pac-12 championship, and Utah's a pretty solid team. To me, Oregon has been really the class of the Pac-12 all season. I think they're way better than everybody in that conference. And I think at the end of the day, they will be able to handle Baylor's size. And I like Oregon's guard play. So on the bottom, A&M against Oklahoma.
This is really a coin flip. I think if they played 10 times, each team would win five. But I'm going to say that Lon Kruger and his Oklahoma Sooners are going to win. Like I said before, they have the most explosive offensive player in the nation in Hield. But I think these other role players, so I think Cousins and Spangler and Woodward, I think they all contribute, and they're all older and more mature, and they've played in this tournament, and they've played in that brutal Big 12. I just don't think the SEC has really prepared A&M for a battle that they're going to get into, so I like
Oklahoma. That's a great point. I agree. I have Oklahoma, and I have Oklahoma against Oregon, Ray. You have Oklahoma against Baylor. I am picking the Sooners to beat the number 1 seed, and Oklahoma is in the Final Four for Tay. So far I have Maryland, Oklahoma. Who you got in this game?
I agree. I think Baylor is great and overachieving as a number 5 seed, but I don't know that they'll make the Final Four. So I do have Oklahoma, again, because of the inside-outside play and the go-to guy. I like Oklahoma Final Four, baby.
I like that. Halfway done, we both have Maryland and Oklahoma. That's crazy. Let's speed it up. We'll take it to the East, North Carolina. Definitely this game, USC-Providence. Nice 8-9 matchup. I think it's Bentley and Dunn is too much. I got Providence.
Too much scoring, too much leadership, Providence.
Okay, does Indiana beat Chattanooga?
Yeah, I got IU. They're going to shoot their way deep into the tournament.
And Kentucky over Stony Brook. And congratulations to Stony Brook, a SUNY school, baby. Their first time in the tournament. My boy Mark Hansen went to Stony Brook. I know a lot of Stony Brook cats on the island. Congratulations. That's great.
First time, yeah. They went Division One only like 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been
good,
amazing.
Good for them. But they run into Kentucky, so unfortunately.
Yeah. So we both have Indiana, Kentucky.
Yep.
And we'll go down. Notre Dame against the play-in team, Michigan or Tulsa. Who do you think will that be? Michigan? I'm going to say Michigan.
Yeah, I'm going to say Michigan beats Tulsa and Michigan beats Notre Dame.
Ooh,
I think Notre Dame, is ripe for an upset.
What about Zach August, the 2020 man, and Demetrius Jackson? They have some
August
veterans.
August and Jackson are legit. But
okay.
I have a feeling that Michigan is going to find them. Now, if this Michigan team had Caris LeVert, it would be
that's
a top
saying, Michigan without LeVert.
Four
if you
or
don't
five,
have LeVert, you don't have a song.
Yeah, you're not harmonizing, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling that if you only have to contain Jackson in August, that Michigan State's going to spread you out wide, and they're going to shoot their way to that first round upset.
Walton will get busy. Okay. I have Notre Dame now. West Virginia against a team that's like the mini me version of them. They kind of press Stephen F. Austin, but I'm going to go with West Virginia.
Yeah, go with the bigger, badder athletes. So, yeah, I like West Virginia.
Your boy Huggins is a great coach. Wisconsin-Pitt, I got to tell you, Pitt is in because they could beat Syracuse. But Pitt has not been a great ACC team. This is where I think the ACC got too many teams. I wouldn't have Pitt in this tournament. I'm not impressed with them. I'm going to take Wisconsin.
You know what? I think Wisconsin is up and down this year. I think Pitt, also two teams that are – kind of underachieving, but I like Pitt a little bit more in this game.
Okay. That's a tough game to watch. And then Xavier, we both got Xavier. That'll take care of the Weber boys, Weber State. So swinging back up, Wisconsin, Xavier for me. I'm going to go Xavier. Pitt Xavier for you. Where are you going?
I'll go Xavier, yeah, for sure.
West Virginia, Michigan?
I'll say West Virginia. That press is just too much. They've
West
got
Virginia.
Too much posse.
I West Virginia over Williams is too much, and so is Huggins over Notre Dame. Still swinging back up. Oof, Indiana, Kentucky. I don't even want to predict this game. Are you kidding me? This is great. Who you got?
It is great, and I think that this matchup of Tyler Ulis and Yogi Ferrell is going to be great. Two little
DBR,
guys.
Baby. That's one to keep.
Yeah, that's going to be a nice little – I don't know how well these guys will do in the pros, if at all, but I know that as college players, you don't get much better than this.
Point guard. I think they
you don't get much better than this. I think
they'll both be backup point guards.
I think ultimately the way to beat Kentucky is to take advantage of their front court, and Indiana doesn't have the front court to do that. So having said that, Murray and Ulis, I'm rolling with Rush with those guys, so I'm going with Kentucky.
I'm rolling with the Blue Bloods, too. Kentucky wins. And then, of course, going up to the top, North Carolina over Providence. Providence will give them a scare, and they'll wind up winning 8 or 9 at the end. But Providence will play them tough. So let's swing back down. North Carolina against Kentucky. You don't get any bluer than this. Blue versus blue. What do you got?
Ashley Judd for Kentucky. You know, Tucky's weakness in the front court, I think at some point, is going to hurt them. And
this is
even though Lee has experience, but they're not getting much from the touted freshman, Labassiere and Scal.
Yeah.
But Carolina, if there's one year where all these McDonald's All-Americans have to show up and really show why they were the preseason number one team, I think this is it. This is the year, and this is the game. So I think that, between Barry and Page in the backcourt and then just everybody in the front court, Hicks and Meeks and Johnson and
right,
Jackson.
Johnson and Jackson.
Too much. Yeah. I think North Carolina, too much posse,
I have North Carolina as well. I love the Tar Heels. I've got to see Obama do his bracket. He likes to roll with the heels. And we'll see him and Andy Katz if they do it this year again. I'm sure ESPN will have that. I'm sure he'll go with North Carolina. That'd be fascinating to see, like always. So I have North Carolina 2 beating Kentucky. Then down here, oh, what's the other game? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, so we had North Carolina against Kentucky.
Right. Did now you have that Notre Dame bracket. You have the
West Virginia.
The Notre Dame, West Virginia.
Yeah,
winner.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
You both had West Virginia. Now you're going to have West Virginia against Xavier, right?
Yes. Yeah, we both picked. Okay, so West Virginia, Xavier. Gosh, Ray, this is a coin toss. Chris Mack could be, if Buddy Hield is player of the year, to me, coach of the year would be Chris Mack. I mean, they should have been a one seed potentially if they would have won the Big East. The job that he's done with this Xavier team that kind of hit us early on, came out of nowhere. They've been pretty consistent all year, and I want to pick them. For some reason, I'm just going with West Virginia because how helter-skelter they are. And their guys have been there, and Huggins. I think they're finally ready to get to an Elite Eight. So I'm going West Virginia, I guess, to face North Carolina.
I'm going to go with Xavier. I'm going to think that they're tougher than Xavier teams in the past. David West, you know, is rooting for his Xavier Musketeers. I just think that West Virginia, by the time Xavier sees them, they will have had, you know, a couple of days to prepare for them. It's one of those.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to beat the press, you're going to be in trouble. But I think that they'll see West Virginia coming, and they'll be able to prepare for them. So I like Xavier. I think the Minutemen take care of business.
Okay, I'm not mad at you. I definitely have got that going on in another bracket, but I figured for this one, I'll stick with West Virginia. I've liked them all year. We talked about them on past episodes of the show. So North Carolina, West Virginia, Ray, to come out of the East to the Final Four, who you got?
I got UNC. I think that, again, the size, the depth, the talent, the senior and the junior in the backcourt, I like Carolina.
You're telling me size does matter.
Size does matter when you have a go-to guy in Bryce Johnson and you have a senior point guard in Page and a junior in Barry who can take care of business.
Let's go to potentially the weakest and final bracket, the Midwest. We got UVA. They'll take care of their business against Hampton. You like the Virginia rival. If ever number one would go down, it would be the passion behind this, but I don't think Hampton's got the dogs for it. So UVA. Now, our man who's tied a record, Tubbs, Texas Tech in the tournament, five different teams, very impressive. Good job for him against Butler. Ooh, this is a battle. I'm going back and forth. I'm going to go with Texas Tech just because I like the way they got it together at the end of the season in the Big 12. I think they'll be ready for Butler.
You know what? I think Butler wins this game. I think that they've got – I mean, look, Texas Tech probably had the better opponents, you know, opponent schedule and the strength of schedule, but I have a feeling that they're gonna fall. This is a coin flip. Any 8-9 is a coin flip. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So I'm gonna take you're taking heads. I'm taking tails. I got Butler.
All right. I'm sure we both have Purdue, unless you're gonna go for the Arkansas Little Rock Shocker.
I'll take the size.
I do think they'll be very competitive the first half, though. That team's got some talent, but Purdue, yes. Here's where it gets funny. Iowa State Iona. I'm gonna tell you right off the bat, Tate upset special. The Iona Gales, baby. They get the W, and they will face Purdue. What do you got?
No, I agree. Iona. I like them in this game. I like the matchup. Iowa State can score. They can't really defend. They got your boy George Niang. He's nice, but ultimately I think you're going to have to play defense against this Iona Gales team, and I agree.
They make buckets. They definitely make buckets. Okay, this is a big game. Seton Hall, Gonzaga, Ray. Oh, my goodness. I've been going back and forth on this one. But at the end of the day, I got to go with the Hall. I think Isaiah Whiteside is an NBA point guard, great player. Seton Hall's tough. I think they're going to win.
I like their guards. I like their whole roster. They're very gritty.
Yeah,
and this
players.
Is a down Gonzaga team, although you figure Wiltshire and Sabonis' kid might be NBA players.
Yeah, guard. That's the problem.
I just think it's guard, right. This tournament is all about guard play. Guards control the tempo. Guards dictate, you know, typically dictate the outcome of the game. So if you can defend and your guards are tough, I like that. So I like Seton Hall.
Okay, Utah Fresno State. I'll say upset alert. I might pick it in our boy Dave's bracket to get the Fresno State, but I'm going with Utah here. But just be careful. Fresno State is nobody scrubs, but I got Utah winning.
I like the kid from Utah with the size. I think they actually take care of business pretty easily.
Dayton against Syracuse. Everybody's been picking Syracuse, but I'm sticking with Dayton because they are legit. This is a team that could, you know, shock the world and beat Michigan State. Who knows? But Arthur Miller, Sean Miller's brother, he's tournament ready. Beheim, I know that zone, but Syracuse, I can't believe in them. They've been so inconsistent. So I'm going with Dayton.
You know what? I'll take Syracuse. Syracuse is a bad matchup for teams. They have size. They have length. They have that matchup zone. They're awkward. So I'll take Syracuse.
That's fair. Let's swing it back up. Michigan State.
Inside play, though, from Syracuse. That's why I can't see them going far, though.
Okay, so you got Michigan State
wins,
here as well.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Okay, Utah, Seton Hall. What do you got?
I'm going with Seton Hall. I like this team. I think that because of the toughness and the depth of their roster, their guards, I like them to be a little bit better than Utah in the second round, go to the Sweet 16.
I have to agree. I got Seton Hall, too. I think they're ready. I think they're ready. So then we swing up Iona against Purdue.
Even though I like guards, I think that the size of Purdue here is too much, and I don't know that Iona can deal with that. And in that small conference, they haven't seen size like that. So I'm going to go with Purdue here.
Okay, and then UVA over Texas Tech or Butler. I got UVA, too.
Yeah, we both, UVA.
All right, swing it down. UVA, Purdue.
I'm going to say UVA. I think that they have Malcolm Brogdon, who's one of the top four or five players in the country. They defend. They make tough shots. They're a tough matchup. And I think they're able to control the tempo and therefore take some of the Purdue big men strength out of the game.
I agree. Michigan State over Seton Hall. I think Valentine, Forbes, Costello. It's just going to be too much for the Hall. It'll be fun for the first half. But I got Michigan State swinging up to
battle. You know what? I'm going to go with Seton Hall on an upset. I'm going to say the Hall takes down Michigan State. We
what?
Got a number six seed, baby.
I love it, baby. Come on.
Everybody's written them into the finals. Everybody says they're going to win. Denzel Valentine is talking about player of the year, and you know what? He deserves it. He's been a great buddy. Buddy might make it, but I think Seton Hall's got something for them. They're going to sneak up and bite them. I'm telling you, these kids on Seton Hall are tough, man. Seton Hall is your sneaky good team.
Wow, you surprised me with that. So UVA, Michigan State for me, I have Michigan State. UVA, Seton Hall for you. Who's going
to
your final four?
Exactly. I'm going to say that Seton Hall did UVA a huge favor because they wouldn't have beaten Michigan State, but I think they do beat Seton Hall. I think that it's a better matchup for them. Again, controlling the tempo, having the best player on the court. I like UVA.
Okay, for the final four, we both have Maryland, Oklahoma, and we both have North Carolina. I have them against Michigan State, and you have them against UVA. Who will be in the championship game, Ray?
So I'll start with the North Carolina and Virginia. I think they played in the ACC finals, and I think that's indicative of what the game would be like. Virginia is a good team. I just think Carolina is a bad matchup for them. I like Carolina in this game. So I like Carolina on the right side of the bracket. Who you got?
I have Carolina beating Michigan State in a slugfest. I think what we're finally going to get is the game of his life for Paige to get his team to the championship. I know what Kennedy Meeks and Hicks will do off the bench. Isaiah Hicks is just, he's going to be too much for Costello and them. And I got North Carolina edging them out by like 4 or 5 points.
All right, who you got in the other side? Now, I know you're conflicted. It's a lot of red on the court. Red and white against red and yellow.
I love Oklahoma. Buddy Hield is from the Bahamas. Shout out to my grandfather's from the Bahamas. Nassau boys, you know, they like to play some ball. Bahamian style, you understand? But I think at the end of the day, man, I have to go with the rematch. From earlier this season, I was going crazy in my house, watching with my oldest son, torn because my favorite school battled my alma mater. And I think Maryland gets to the finals. They do enough to outscore Oklahoma and to slow down Cousins and Hield. Maryland will face North Carolina for the national championship.
See, and I'll take the other side of that. I think Oklahoma, who was a top five team all year, slipped up a little bit. But, again, I think that their strength, their depth, their go-to guy, you know, to me, Spangler's going to have to play big. He's going to have to dominate on the boards. He's going to give them 12 to 15 points. But I think ultimately they have the guy, Buddy Hield, that's going to put them on their back and go to the finals against Carolina.
Lamont's going to be all over him, him and Carter. They're going to be like, what, where you at, where you at? Okay, the championship. I have North Carolina, Maryland. You have North Carolina, Oklahoma. I'm going to take it first, Ray. Wow. My first love against, like, my second or third love. I got to go with my first love. Ain't nobody finer than North Carolina. 79-75. The Tar Heels cut down the nets. Roy Williams, like the sheriff, Peyton Manning, goes off into retirement and potential sanctions. He leaves North Carolina a champion. Hicks, Page, Johnson, Meeks, Berry, Jackson, the boys get it done. North Carolina wins. Too much posse.
So for all those reasons, I agree. I think that Buddy Hield may be the best player on the court, but the next five players are probably Carolina players, right? I mean, I like Isaiah Cousins, but these other guys, between their experience and when they play up to their potential and their size. So I think that Woodard and Spangler and Cousins and Hield, they're all good, but I just think the list keeps going for Carolina. Carolina goes 7, 8, 9 deep with McDonald's All-Americans. And like you said, I think Roy wants to win one because either between his health, you know, he keeps getting dizzy on the sidelines, between his health and maybe sanctions or whatever, I think he's like, look, get me my third, and I'll get out of here. Or somehow, you know, this is my best chance. So I like Carolina to cut down the nets in Houston, baby.
We both got Carolina. I have them over Maryland. Tay, Ray has them over Oklahoma. It is going to be fun. Real quick, some great NBA games tonight, some NFL news. Let's talk about the NFL real quick. My boy Martavius Bryant suspended for a year for the Steelers. Hopefully Sammy Coates can fill in. Maybe they draft another guy. Yikes. Eric Weddle signs with the Ravens. And the NFL officially admits that CTE is or can be caused by football. What do you think about that? Have they released a statement?
What did it take? It took a movie. It took a few dead players,
a governor,
some medical research. Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, it's good.
Thank
I mean, it's a progress, I suppose.
Ray, listen, if that's progress, whew, boy, we need some serious help if that's progress. You know, do you like Eric Weddle real quick to the Ravens? Decent money the first year. $9 million,
it's a lot of money in the first year. So it looks like it's a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal. But I think that he can add something. And he might be on the downside of his career, though. So they should be careful. But they structured it smartly for them. Also, B.J. Raji, did you see this? To take a year off.
A hiatus. Yeah, 29, taking a year. No signings yet with Kaepernick, Fitzpatrick, or RG3. I think they just want to pay these guys peanuts, and these guys are trying to get more money. You know, so that's interesting. This weekend, Ray, wow, we had some great. So the Spurs took care of OKC. The Cavs smacked up the Clippers. The Hornets are like the hottest team since, you know, pork fried rice. What's going on in the NBA? The Cavs okay? And what's wrong with the Clippers?
The Cavs are okay. I think the Cavs are more than okay, right? If they beat Utah tonight, they will have won, what, 7 out of 8?
Yeah,
they're fine. They're just rolling. They're rolling like Rush. Your Charlotte team lost at home to Dallas tonight by 11. But you know what? They're overachieving. I mean, they're 5 seed in the East, so good for them. In the West, I think OKC has a problem. I think that they're always going to be a little bit short this year. I don't know. Maybe it's Billy Donovan. Maybe it's the rotation.
Spurs game did not look good to me. I don't know what's going on with them. They can't beat the elite teams.
I know. That's a problem because, you know, you're going to face elite teams, you know, in round one in the playoffs. So it's not like you face elite teams only in the Western Conference Finals. You're facing 4 elite teams if you want to win a championship if you're OKC. So a little bit worried. I'm very worried about OKC. In terms of the Clippers, yeah, they got beat down at home.
They're just tired. I think they need Blake. It's time. He's not ready yet, but, you know, look, they've done well without him, so I can't kill him with that loss. I just think it's time. They need Blake. They're exhausted. They need their best player.
Fair. You can't judge a team without their best player. So, Blake, come back quickly, get healed up, and let's see these Clippers make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, basically that's it. And then tonight, what they're going for 60-6, the Warriors. You can't beat that. They'd be the fastest team to 60 ever. And, you know, kudos to Steph, his 28th birthday. So, wow. Well, what can you say, Ray? The oyster, the world is his oyster, and the world is in the palm of that kid's hands. And
yeah, it's nice to be young, talented, and a champion.
Yeah, listen, great show. We will be back Saturday early, maybe 11:30 Eastern, to get you ready for the round of 32. So enjoy the games Thursday and Friday. We'll review what happened and then go forward, look at our picks, join our bracket. The group is Ray and Tay Today, Sports Radio. You know, pick your teams, join us, have fun at the ESPN, you know, bracket challenge. And hey, we'll talk to you Saturday. It's fun. We both got the Tar Heels. Surprise, surprise. Ray and Ted.